Good morning, everyone. You're listening to me, Lori the Love Sherpa, here on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way you listen to the world. Happy Monday morning, everyone. I am just about to take a sip of water. Actually, I was just about to take a sip of water before Serena counted me in. So I'm going to take one now. I've been noticing that I've been needing to drink a lot more water lately. Not quite sure why that is, but my body just seems to really want a lot, like more than a gallon a day, I would say. But I'm glad we're all here together. I'm grateful for your presence. And it is Monday. Gosh, what day is it? February 24th, 2025. I couldn't remember what year it was for a moment. I always kind of do that with the new year. But 2025, at least, is an easy year to remember, right? So here we are, and it's 10:02 a.m. on the west coast of the United States, where I am in beautifully sunny Oceanside, California this morning. And I do hear the requisite motorized noises outside, not directly outside my window, but I can hear them in the distance, which is fine, because hopefully you can't. So I want to invite you all to go over to the chat room on Facebook and join me there, where we are having a little party of our own, as usual. And how you get there is just go to your computer, your device, to the World Wide Web, and hit 12radio.com. And that will bring you to a page with a black background, and you'll see some options on the left side, and one of them is chat. And when you hit chat, that should take you right over into the 12 Radio Facebook page. And if you've never been here before, feel free to join the group. And most likely, my wonderful producer, Serena, is standing by and has a baby in her lap, but she will let you into the group, and she will let you onto the page, so that you can join in our discussion. And if you've already been here, then you know you just scroll down to where my banner is. And that is what I am doing at the moment. And so I see, I see Renee. Hey, Renee, it's good to see you. and apparently Pamela is very excited that you're here too, Renee. It's nice to be loved. so yeah, Renee, you're getting all the love there. From Pamela, from me, from a lot of people, I'm sure, because you seem like a very lovely soul. And even though I never really meet that many people from the 12 Radio audience in person, other than the ones who kind of, you know, live right here and who I'm already friends with, I still feel all of you, and I still get impressions of all of you. And I know Renee's a cool girl, and a wonderful lady. And I just know she has a great heart. So I feel that, Renee. And you know, I could probably say that about all of you here, because I don't think you'd be listening to me if you weren't a spiritual person, a good person. Because I don't think that people who are not geared in that way would be interested in anything I have to say. I really don't. So I'm happy to have a great audience and lovely community on 12 Radio. It's really fabulous. And of course, Pamela is here, as I said, and she says, the lovely Lori. Aw, thanks, Pamela. Same to you. You spot it, you got it. And she says, thanks for producing, Serena. Well, Pamela is just giving everyone so much love today. So I am giving you a lot of love right back, Pamela. You sound like you're in a good mood. And that is a good thing. But if not, well, if you are or not, I want to know all about it. And I want to know why. So I invite you all to share with me anything that you would like to. You can make any sort of comment you like. You can ask me questions that I will hopefully be able to answer. You can ask for card reading if you feel so inclined. I am and have been trained in many different modalities and many different areas of knowledge, one of which was my training at the University of Santa Monica, and my training was in spiritual psychology. And so I am well equipped to respond to just about anything you want to throw at me, because as a human design projector type, I will say that when it is appropriate and people invite me in and ask me questions, I usually have pretty good answers for them, because what I do is give guidance. And that is one of my main purposes. And so the fact that I'm here sharing this, all of this with you on a very public platform, I mean, it's a private platform, but, you know, in a semi-public space. Excuse me one second. What that means is that I am meant to answer questions for you, and you've invited me in. And when I receive an appropriate invitation, and that invitation is one of value to me and one that shows me that you are valuing my input, I can accept that invitation and I can answer your questions. So just by virtue of being here in the chat, you have, to some degree, let me in and invited me into your world, and you've invited me to interact with you. And if you didn't want to be here, you wouldn't be in my chat room. So that's how I look at it. It's all an invitation for me. And the very interesting thing that I am learning more about as I deepen my study of human design is that, one, it's phenomenally accurate. And two, not trying to blow my own horn, but the projector types, which is what I am, the projectors are a very rare breed. We're only 20%, if that, of the population. And we are a non-energy type, which means that we don't have any what are called energy centers in our chart, in our body graph. And what that means is we need more sleep, for sure. We basically run oftentimes on other people's energy. So when I receive energy, when I'm around other people, undoubtedly there are most likely going to be generators and manifesting generators around me, because those types comprise 80% of the population. So there are a lot of them. And, you know, I can't even talk. Let's clear up, take the marbles out of my mouth. I inevitably will encounter energy types. And the way my aura works is that I have a penetrating aura, so I can penetrate other people's aura. And the way energy types, their auras work, is that they radiate energy around them, so I can feel it. So that's a little bit different, but they both work in very specific ways. So when I'm around an energy type, I feel very energized usually, if they're in a good mood. If they're in a bad mood, I feel that too. And it usually makes me want to run out of the room. But which is one reason I feel like a lot of projectors lately have just been hermiting. I know that's a different thing, but I have wondered why I am sometimes kind of a recluse. I can literally stay in my home for days on end and not go anywhere unless I absolutely have to. Like there's just really no draw for me to go out. I mean, I'll go outside, you know, I'll take the trash and the recycling out and maybe go out for a short walk. But if I have no plans, anything specific outside of my house, I always have plans inside my house. I have lots to do here. And a lot of what I do is online anyway. So that doesn't really require me to leave. But if I don't need to leave, sometimes I don't. And I'll just stay here and, you know, live my life inside my home. And it works out very well for me because it's peaceful for the most part. And it allows me to go inward and cultivate my psychic abilities even further. Because, you know, we always have to do that. It's not like we're ever finished with any of our learnings. And I always like to learn more about what I'm interested in. So staying at home is serving me. I do feel like the Mars retrograde was making things a little challenging and a little dicey when I did go out, because I would encounter a lot of energy from the collective, from all of the energy types, who were not that thrilled with life at the moment. Even though I am happy to say that I am thankfully very happy with life at the moment, and not, and definitely I'm grateful I'm in a good place. I know not everyone is, and that's what I was feeling like when I went out driving around and, you know, just being around other people. I could feel it, and it starts to feel really yucky and overwhelming. So I forget where I was yesterday. I was in a place. Oh, I know what. I went to Trader Joe's last night, and this is just an example of what I'm talking about. But I went to Trader Joe's, and I love Trader Joe's. I really do, despite the fact that they were nasty to me during the beginning of COVID, because I'm an ornery and rebellious sort and didn't want to do what they wanted me to do. Because that's just me. But I do love their store. I mean, they have great items and the people are really nice usually, and people who work there. And I have a really good friend who works there too, and he's great. But ordinarily, I like going into Trader Joe's because, you know, I like food shopping. I just kind of like to take my time and stroll around and see what they have. And I'm always so grateful that there's such a beautiful selection for us of food and other items. Whenever I go shopping, I'm always really amazed and grateful at the fact that we live in a world and in a particular place where I can go into a store and pretty much get anything I need there. Because in a lot of places in the world, you can't do that. And so I really appreciate that. And it never ceases to amaze me. And I never fail to forget it either. It's like, I don't take it for granted that I can go into this place and they have these amazing little grapes that I love, and this amazing package of bacon that I can make in a minute and have it ready to eat without the fuss and muss. You know, you can just make it really quickly because it's pre-cooked. But I went in there last night, and as much as I love it, there was a lot of frenetic energy in there. And I felt it as I pulled into the parking lot. This is a brand new Trader Joe's also, which is a little closer to my house, which is nice. And it's right on my regular route when I go pick up, you know, other groceries and other stores. Because, of course, I have to go to a different store for every little thing. Because they don't all have it in one store. So I was getting my celery juice in one store. And I was getting my grapes in another store. It would be nice if they had it all under one roof. But it's okay. I don't mind. I like, you know, schlepping around sometimes and finding different things in different places. It's very interesting to me. You know, I like the trial and error of it all, just to see what works. So I was in Trader Joe's, and there was just, as soon as I pulled into the parking lot, like I said, there was so much frenetic energy. And I walked in, and I got hit with it even more. And it just seemed like there were people clogging every aisle. And the energy was not soothing in any way, shape, or form. So needless to say, I grabbed my scallops and I grabbed my, what else did I get? They didn't have the grapes I wanted, which I was not thrilled about because I'm running out of them and I really love them. They're the gummy bear grapes. Oh my God, they're so good. if you see them anywhere, grab them. They're sweet and so delicious. But they didn't have them. So I got my other foods and I hightailed it out of there as quickly as I could. And as soon as I walked outside, I was like, oh, take a breath. Just because the energy really feels dissonant in some places at some times. And I can feel that. So anyway, that was my experience last night in Trader Joe's. But I did end up having good scallops for dinner. And that was pretty tasty. They have it in the frozen food section. And it's packaged. And it doesn't have terrible ingredients. It's got pretty good ingredients because I'm very health conscious and I try not to eat crap. And speaking of not eating crap, I was able to get my hands on some of my best friend's really yummy chocolates. She brought me a whole bunch and I think I've eaten like half a box already. And she made some that had a microdose, like a microdose of mushrooms in them. And I'm not one to really do psychedelics anymore. But I figured she said it was a microdose. So I tried it and it was fine. I actually didn't feel anything, but I did feel like I was very awake and present. So I think it was perfect for that. It just made me stay up later because I was getting things done. I was just busying myself with, you know, doing the dishes and getting the wash done. And it was late. I was really supposed to be in bed by that time, but I was just wide awake. So perhaps the mushrooms had something to do with that. But I'm not suggesting that anyone go do mushrooms. It's not it's something I normally do. It's just a, like I said, it was a very tiny amount and she put it in a chocolate, which was delicious. The inside tasted like creamy marzipan. Oh my goodness. I almost can't eat any other kind of chocolate anymore. Almost, not quite, but almost, because her chocolate is just that good. It's the best chocolate I've ever had. I can honestly say I've never had better chocolate than what she makes. And if anybody's interested, I can tell you how to reach her, but, it's worth it. It's not super expensive. I don't think so. It's not inexpensive, but I think it's worth it. I really do. I always look at it that way. I don't look at money as, first of all, I don't want to live in lack or scarcity. So I always try to look at things from an abundant point of view. And I know that can be challenging for some people sometimes, because it was for me at one point too. But I try never to do anything or not do something simply because of money. If there's a good reason, and like, say you're trying to figure out whether or not you should spend some money, on something. I mean, I want to say, listen to your body, but if you're not accustomed to really knowing how to feel into your body, that can also be deceiving. So my advice about money is always know that money is energy. Know that it is the energy of appreciation and it needs to flow in and out. And it needs to flow towards whatever you're appreciating in order for it to flow back into you again. Oh, excuse me. And I burped, and that's emphasis. So emphasis about what I'm saying is true. So if you are considering, you know, a pricey purchase or something that maybe you think you don't have the money for, or, you know, you're just feeling some type of way, hesitant about spending money, look at it this way. Is it Is it going to, is it for something that's going to help you? Is it for something that's going to serve you? And for me, that's almost always the deciding factor, because if I'm paying money, even if it's a good amount of money, for something that's going to serve me well, or that I even think will serve me well, you know, if I feel like this thing is going to serve me well, this thing, this person, whatever it is, I will stretch and I will spend money out of appreciation for this person's gifts or this thing that will benefit me. Yeah. And if everything feels resonant in that way, then I don't hesitate, because I always want to come from a place of love, not fear. And that place of love is a place of abundance. And the place of fear is a place of lack and scarcity. And when you come from a place of lack and scarcity, it's a contraction. And the universe is energy, and that's all energy. And the universe will feel that and know that. And if you are in that lack and scarcity, the universe is just going to give you more of it. And I know, because I've experienced the abundance and the lack. I've experienced all sides of this tool, all sides of this theory. And now I know better what to do and what not to do. So that's why I'm telling you about it. I have done the trial and error, people. And you can take what I'm saying and do with it what you will. But I am telling you because I have experienced all of this myself. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking about it. But the engineering and the mechanics energetically of coming from a place of feeling abundant and really breathing into that energy, as opposed to contracting and scarcity and feeling that energy, oh my goodness, what would you rather feel? I know I, for one, would much rather feel the energy of abundance and having what it is that's going to serve me. And I always find that when I stretch like that, I'm always rewarded, and the money always comes back at some point. It, maybe not right away, but later sometimes. I told a story to one of my friends recently about tithing, okay? Now, I am not tithing specifically per se right now. You know, I'm not doing the 10% of my income thing. Like I used to. I used to tithe, and I tithed for quite a while because it felt good to do so. And so I tithed. And this was at a point when I wasn't in a super flush era. I wasn't particularly money abundant at that point. And I heard about tithing, and it was suggested to me to tithe 10% of my income to people, organizations, etc., that I feel have given me value and that it have served me in some way. So I tithed for quite a while, and there came a point where I felt like the tithing became challenging, and it was almost like I had to put it off till the next week because there was not enough money at the end of 1 week to actually do it, because I had bills that had to be paid, and if I didn't pay them first, I probably would have been in trouble. But and so there wasn't really anything left to tithe, and at one point there was a deficit, and some of the bills didn't get paid either. So I'm sure a lot of people know what that feels like, which is not a good feeling. And so I stopped tithing just because it felt really hard at that point. And I was doing the best I could. So I was like, okay, let me put tithing on the back burner. And, maybe I'll pick it up again. or not. I when I dropped it, I sort of made a mental note and a promise to Spirit that I would offer my abundance in other ways, to a degree that felt more comfortable for me. You know, like I would help people, whether it was with money or with love or with anything that I did from my heart space, I would do more of that because that was what I had to give at the time. And so I made Spirit a promise that I would do that, and I've kept that promise. And I am continuing to keep that promise. At least I try. And I do the best I can. So, but the moral of that story was, even though I kind of expected to see during the time that I was tithing, because I don't think I fully understood it, but I kind of expected to see that abundance circle back around to me right away and have large amounts of money just pouring in like right away while I was tithing, which didn't really happen. So I guess I was a little disappointed with the tithing. And I was like, this isn't working as well as I thought it would. So maybe I'll do this thing instead. Which, you know, is, I think, was fine because it felt resonant in a way in my body that was comfortable for me to do this other thing instead of tithing. And so that's what I did. And I recently realized that all that tithing was not for naught, because all the energy I put into tithing my 10% of my income for months and months, probably, I would say I probably did it for maybe not a whole year, but a good portion of a year. But that abundance has come back to me. I mean, multiplied exponentially. It really has. And I'm really happy to say that. And I thought about it the other day, and I thought to myself, and I was talking with one of my friends and telling her the story. I said, you know what? That tithing actually, the energy of tithing actually does work, because that money came back to me not very long after I stopped tithing. It didn't take very long. I would say it probably took 6 months, maybe not a terribly long amount of time, but yeah, it did. It really, really did. And when I acknowledged that, that was very eye-opening to me. I'm like, oh, wow. So what I put out into the universe actually does come back, and it multiplies and it expands. And even though it didn't come back immediately, it did come back pretty shortly thereafter, multiplied. So whatever you give out definitely comes back multiplied. And that's what I learned from all of that tithing. I'm like, wow, now I see. I didn't see it then, but now I see how this works. And it works great. I mean, it sounds silly to say that maybe, but you know, you let the abundance flow out and it does flow back in. Abso-frickin-lutely. So, and it still amazes me like how well that really does work, because that energy is always there. And the energy of allowing your abundance to flow out. And I mean, I was tithing because I was grateful to Spirit for providing me with that income. So that was my main purpose for doing it. I wasn't doing it so I would get something back, because that's not the way to tithe. You don't tithe just so you get something back. But that's actually how it does work, although that shouldn't be your motivation. But when you do tithe, you do get it expanded back to you. And I'm a living example of that. I just am. It's just come back to me in wonderful, wonderful ways. And I'm very grateful for all of that. I'm grateful having learned that lesson that I don't necessarily need to see results immediately for something, to know something is working. And the energy is working on my behalf and spirit is working on my behalf. So, oh God, my feet are getting numb. I need to stand up, guys. I had a very interesting, I had a very interesting and alarming experience this past week. And I had to go to a doctor because my feet and ankles were swollen and I didn't know why. So right now I was sitting a little too long and I think I'm cutting off my circulation and I don't want that to happen again. So I'm getting up and I'm going to put my feet up. I'm going to take you guys with me and I'm going to put my feet up somewhere right here. Actually, I'm going to just sit on my cushion and put my feet up on the chair. Okay. Let's see how this works. So I will, if you could see the position I'm in right now, I am kind of half lying on my mat, which is in my living room, and I have my feet up on my chair, higher than my hips. So it's a little awkward, but it's working right now. And if I need to change it, I will. So let me go back to the chat and see if anyone has questions, because I would love to answer. I didn't go to USM for nothing, you know. I went there so I would have some tools. And I also studied a lot of other things, so I would have some tools. So I have a lot of tools, and I'd love to be able to use them because that's what I'm here for. So let's see what all of you are doing. And if you have any questions, where is my chat? There it is. Okay. All right. Yes, I see all of you here. And all comments. Getting Facebook set up. Oh, yeah. Pamela says, just so very grateful for everyone at 1-2. You all make my world a better place. I'm so happy to hear that, Pamela. That's really lovely. Thank you. Okay. Quelly. Hey, Quelly. It's good to see you here. She says, blessings, Lori and Serena. Blessings to you too, Quelly. It's lovely feeling your energy. And Jean is here. She says, hi, Lori. Jean here with my soul sister, Stacy, whom I am trying to get addicted to 1-2 Radio. Well, I don't think that'll be too difficult. At least I hope not. Hopefully she's enjoying the show and all the other shows, which are pretty great. And Jean says she's wondering why she's getting panic nightmares about trying to get your car back. Not a nightmare that is normal for her. Yeah, that's a very good question. Interesting that you say that. I feel like something has been in the air because I was having some weird dreams. Scary dreams, like I would call them nightmares, this last week. So I don't think it's that unusual. I have a feeling there's some energy in the air. I know Mars was retrograde for a while. That could have been part of it. But I can pull a card for you as soon as I get back to my desk. I'm just going to sit here for a minute and let my legs rest. But I'll definitely pull a card for you, Jean, if you'd like. And Gail is here. Hi, Gail. She says, hi, I plan on moving to California at the end of the month. What do you see? Will this be good? Ah, okay. Well, I'm in California, so I love it here. I've been here almost 11 years. And I will feel into that for you, and I'll also pull a card for you. I'll get up in a minute and do that, Gail. Hey, Lynn. She says, hi, Lori. I don't think I've heard your show before, but have 1-2 Radio on while I'm going about my day. So pleased to hear you know of human design and are also a projector like me. Yeah. Nice to catch your show today. Well, I'm happy you're here, Lynn, and I'm happy to hear you're a projector. That's great. Yeah, I wonder if, excuse me, I wonder if you have studied for a while and I wonder a lot of things. I love talking to other projectors. I was talking to another projector this weekend who I just met, a friend of a friend. And we, oh my God, she was so fascinating. I loved talking to her because she's brand new to human design. She just found out she's a projector and she really doesn't know much about what it means. And so, of course, I jumped right in and was informing her of all kinds of things, which she was asking me questions, and which was perfect because I love being asked questions. So she was asking me questions and I was answering her and guiding her, and I was right at home and very, very happy because that's what we as projectors love to do, right, Lynn? We love to answer questions, and we love to, you know, when we have the invitation. And of course, when we don't have the invitation, we still want to answer the questions, but we have to wait to be invited. And that's okay, because we don't want to waste our energy. We definitely want to conserve the energy that we have, because like I was saying earlier, we don't have an energy center. We may have a motor center. For instance, my root is defined. So you may have one of the motor centers defined. I believe the solar plexus is another motor center, and I forget what the other one is, but there, I believe, are a few motor centers, and I do have that. So if you're a projector with no defined motor centers, and of course you've got no energy centers, then you're a little bit different, and you probably really need to rest a lot. Because the way I work, I have a motor center, so I can go for a little while, but I usually, and I've said this before, I usually can go and do like some sort of energy expenditure, whether it's seeing a client or whether it's going to the store. I can do one or two things a day, maybe three things if they're three really brief, easy things. But usually I like to do one or none so I can rest. So that's just how we work. And it sounds so weird because it sounds like we're being lazy, right? But we're not. We just don't have that kind of energy that, say, someone like a generator would have. It's just not there. So that's why we need you guys. So we can feel your energy, and you can give us some of yours so that, you know, we can help you. We can't help you if we don't have any energy. So it's a give and take. The energy types give the energy to the non-energy types, and the non-energy types help the energy types with what they don't have. It's perfectly designed, human design. It really is, because everybody has a purpose. And it's the main purpose is to help each other in the way that we are designed to help. So that's why I love it. It's really great. I love it for so many reasons. Hey, Ryan. Ryan, he says, hi, Lori. I'm a 5-1 manifester with emotional authority. Yes, you are. Can you provide any recommendations on approaching the deconditioning process with human design? One issue that has come into my awareness lately is certain patterns with people pleasing. Yes, that I need to address, but I'm wondering what else is generally experienced during deconditioning. Okay, so I recently, in my studies, found that people pleasing is a very, very big thing with manifestors, because, like you say, you're deconditioning. And especially for a manifester, let me sit up because I think I need to put my brain in a different position and my energy also. It's hard to talk in this position. Hold on, one sec. It's very noisy out there right now. Let me go in the other room. Sorry. I have to shift. Okay, so now we're in the quiet bathroom, where I can actually hear you, you can actually hear me, hopefully. Okay, Ryan, I got you. So yeah, the manifestors are here to initiate. They are, I like to call them forces of nature, because they are. They're here to start things up. Not necessarily finish them, because that can sometimes be left to other people, but they're like the energy types, generators and manifesting generators can often pick up where the manifestor leaves off with the idea and just take it and run with it. But the manifester is the one who has to initiate. So it's your natural design to start things. When you get an idea or you see something you want to do, all you need to do is inform anyone else who might be involved or who might need to know. Just let them know and then do it. I mean, I'm kind of jealous of that. Isn't it a great thing to be able to just decide what you want to do and go and do it? That's fantastic. So since you're designed that way, that can often be off-putting to some people. And I know you've experienced this, but that's why informing is very important, because people need to know what you're about to do sometimes. Not everyone, but just the people involved. So people pleasing can be a very definite part of the deconditioning process, because you're geared towards the way the world works for energy types like generators and manifesting generators. And there's a natural inclination for manifestor especially to want to make everyone else happy. And it's just something that you have to realize isn't necessarily going to serve you as a manifestor, because it's going to prove, if you're trying to make everyone happy, how are you ever going to make yourself happy and start what you want to start? Does that make sense? I hope it does. You can't be a force of nature if you're always worried about what everyone else thinks. So you just have to know that this is how you're meant to work. This is how you're designed. And you don't have to make everyone else happy all the time. You just don't. You have to initiate what you're here to initiate. If we didn't have manifestors, nothing would get done. Honestly. The projectors wouldn't, we wouldn't, I mean, we'd have people to guide, but it would just be hard for everybody. Let me just put it that way. Because we need people to start things. I, as a projector, can't really start things unless I'm the only one involved. I need an invitation to start something with someone. I can't just jump in and say, hey, I'm about to guide you, get ready. Because it won't be received. It'll not land well. Believe me, I've tried that. But you, as a manifestor, you can jump right in there and you can be like, hey, I'm going to go do this thing. And then you can go do the thing. And that's fantastic. Because, like I said, I can't do that as a projector. That would not work for me. Generator types can't do that because they need something to respond to. They just can't automatically respond to something that, you know, they might have just thought about without having an outside stimulus. The energy types usually need something, I'm going to say always need something to respond to. If they're not being asked a question, if they're not being given something to actually respond to, there's nothing for them to do. So even they have to kind of wait till there's something to respond to. You, as a manifestor, are the only one who doesn't have to wait. And that is a freaking superpower. Everybody has a superpower of some sort, but yours is amazing. And so the deconditioning process, it takes 7 years for a reason. Because this is not what feels natural. It's not what you've been conditioned to do. So getting used to doing it is sometimes challenging, and that's okay. But the more you do it, the more natural it's going to feel and the better it's going to work. You'll see. What else is generally experienced during deconditioning? That's what we experience. We experience our not self. And your not self is anger. So when you feel angry, that's a place that's telling you, that's a feeling that's telling you that you are definitely in your not self. So you don't want to hang out there. I forget the word for the manifestor. I'm going to look you up right now because I have you here. Okay. So you're, hang on one sec. Okay, you have a split definition. Okay, see, that also says something too. You have a split definition, which means that you often do need the input of something else when you're trying to start something. So that's okay. You just have to inform them, like I said. So your signature is peace. When you are feeling peaceful, you are a happy camper. You are just a happy little clam. So that's what you want to feel. And when you're not feeling peace, when you're feeling anger instead, that's your not self. Okay. And the more you live your design the way you're supposed to, the more peace you're going to feel. The less you people please, it might be uncomfortable at first, but you're going to see it works better because you don't have to do that. So keep at it. It's the deconditioning process can be a bit gnarly sometimes, especially for things like this, but you will be okay. The more you do it, the better you'll get at it. So I hope that's helpful. So let's see. Yeah. Pamela says I could live at Trader Joe's when it's not crowded. Exactly. When it's not crowded, that's the key. Hey, John. He says, Laura, you are giving so much of yourself, not just on your show, but it is clear in all you do. Oh, whether it be money, love, or something else, you and your story are a living example. We get back what we put out. Thank you, John. I so appreciate you seeing me. We as projectors love to be seen. I so appreciate that. That's beautiful. Thank you. And Lynn says, I've been studying human design and gene keys. Cool. For quite some years. Yes, love to share about human design. I'm a splenic projector with one motor, the root. Okay, so you're a lot like me in that way. So you get it. I wonder what your profile lines are. Now I want to know everything. Okay, so let me refresh the chat because I have not done that in a while. And I want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. Okay. I think I've got most of you, if not all of you. All right, so let me go and pull those cards for, scrolling back up. Okay, for Jean and for Gail. Okay. All right, so we're going to pull cards for Jean and Gail. And like I always say, when I pull cards, usually they are not only for the people for whom I'm pulling them, but usually they're for someone else who's listening as well. So if they resonate for you, then the cards I'm pulling are also for you. So let's switch it up a little today and use James Van Praagh's deck because he is a wise one and he was one of my teachers. Once upon a time, a few years ago, over in Encinitas, which is just lovely and very spiritual. And I took one of his courses over at the Spiritual Center, and I've seen him. I've gone to quite a few of his, an evening with spirit where he does readings for people, and he did a reading for me that blew me away. Oh my God. So many of my relatives showed up. He was so accurate. I wish I could have recorded it. It was all right. So I have a card here for Jean, and Jean says she's wondering why she's getting panic nightmares about trying to get her car back. Yeah, dreams can be strange. Sometimes I feel like this is a lot about just generalized anxiety for you, Jean, and I'm wondering if you have any issues with anxiety in general, because that's what I feel. That's not what the card says. I'm going to read that to you in a moment. So it says, what were we just talking about? It says abundance is your right. Okay. Well, That could have something to do with the car too. Abundance is your right. And like we were talking about before, see, the cards always play because they're spirit. Spirit talks about what it wants to talk about, and that's why there's a theme. So abundance is your right. While the awareness of your higher self is focused on this physical dimension, it is only natural to believe in the concept of limitations. But your soul is limitless in its ability to give out and receive energy. You just have to accept that you are capable and worthy. The universe will give you anything that you desire. Excuse me one second. I have to take myself over to this other place. My leg is like giving me an issue here. It's starting to hurt, and I don't want my ankles to swell up again. So let's see if you can all hear me if I do this. Okay. If you can't hear me, let me know. If you can, don't worry about it. Okay, I'm going to start this again. Abundance is your right. While the awareness of your higher self is focused on this physical dimension, it is only natural to believe in the concept of limitations. This is what we were talking about before. But your soul is limitless in its ability to give out and receive energy, which is what money is. You just have to accept that you are capable and worthy. Worthy. The universe will give you anything that you desire, but it's not a one-way street. It's a loop. The energy of abundance must flow. I just love that I picked this card today. So as it comes to you, you must be willing to send it out. Thank you, Spirit, for echoing what you just told me to say a minute ago. I love it. It's confirmation. All you desire can be yours if you accept that this energy does not end with you. It is your right to be the receptacle of boundless love, happiness, health, and prosperity. But you must receive these gifts with the intention of keeping the flow of abundance alive. Does everyone hear that? I hope everyone is listening to this. There's a message here for more than one person. You must receive these gifts of prosperity with the intention of keeping the flow of abundance alive. You can't stop letting it flow. If your intention is to have abundance stop with you, then you are actually blocking the energy from coming to you in the first place, which is also what Spirit was having me say earlier. If you fall into the mindset of limitation, you are saying to the universe that you are not worthy to receive. And nothing is further from the truth. This is your ego talking. The universe always says yes. It is the ego that says no. You can be the beneficiary of any and all gifts if you accept that it is possible. All right. I don't think I need to say anything else about that, actually. But I'm going to pull this other card really quickly. Sorry, I had to go across the room. There's a lot of finagling happening today. Okay. Gail, I pulled a card for you and it says release toxic relationships. So I don't know what that has to do with California. However, I feel like you moving to California is a good thing. Just pay attention to some of the, there'll be some minor delays, maybe not even delays, but minor, you know, snafus and things that you have to navigate, but nothing awful. So just, you know, you might hit some roadblocks in some way, but it won't be terrible. But I think once you get here, after a while, things are going to be smoother. At first, they might not be so smooth. That's what I'm getting. And the releasing toxic relationships. I'm going to read that really quick because I know we're coming down to the wire. Actually, you know what? I'll put it in the chat because I have to go. And Serena has to start her show and I don't want to make her late. But Gail, I will definitely put this in the chat. I will take a picture of it and put a screenshot in the chat. But yeah, I do think it's a good thing that you're coming to California. And I just think you're going to have to navigate a few weirdnesses in the first
part of, you know, your trip and the first part of you being here. But that's okay. It'll all clear up and it'll get better. So don't worry. All right, everybody, I have to go. Serena is coming up next and she is wonderful. Stay around and listen to her. But I'm really happy you were all here and thank you for the great questions. And I'm so thrilled to be with all of you every week and I will be here again next week. So join me again. You've been listening to me, Lori the Love Sherpa, here on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way you listen to the world. I love you all. Bye, everybody.